Welcome to the Modcast, an official Polycast production brought to you by Apollotan Civilization Site. Wouter Snijders,
Kenneth Perland,
Tony Keel,
Oscar Velzi.
With guest co-host,
SMJ. Welcome to Modcast, an official Polycast production. This is episode 5. Today we're joined with Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Hello,
Kenneth. Impaler WRG Ferland.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Wouter Lacutus Snijders.
Hello.
And we have our first ever guest co-host, Stephen SMJ Jimenez.
Hello.
So, Wouter, I finally tricked someone to coming onto the show.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, our first victim. Yeah.
Right as we're recording this, some of the forums are down, so we may not have screenshots until further notice of some of the files, but hopefully that'll be fixed soon.
We will manage them.
Well, if not, you can just send me screenshots of you, Ken. Artist Sketchpad has a lot of stuff today.
Yeah.
Might be because this show is run by artists.
Yeah, and couldn't find enough code stuff.
True, there isn't a whole lot of code coming out.
Yeah, and besides, the goder doesn't appear in some episodes and things like that.
Yeah, that's true. 87.5% less Ken last week. Alright.
And today in the artist sketch pad, we review a whole ton of artwork. First, we've got the King Tyre by Amma, the Roman Metal Chariot and Flying Witches by Thacker, Elves and Dwarves by Chugginator, New Palace Artworks by the Navy SEAL, a Molotov Cocktail Throwing Bolshevik by Tony, and again, Chuck Norris by Tony.
Yeah, say Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Say it again.
Chuck Norris. Norris.
Norris. So in the code corner, we talk about the unique name fix by Dale and the KGB mod by Gear.
In the modern spotlight, we talked with SMJ about his KFM converter.
Got news. Email news at apolyton.net. Or send a private message to ThankQ, LuckyJuice, Grandma Troll, or one of the other news editors.
In the artist's sketchpad, we discuss graphics and artwork from the modding community.
Right here, we have a leaderhead, I believe, called King Hiram of Tyr.
The land of old used tires.
And this is by Amra, who is old school.
Oh, yes. A master leaderhead maker.
Yeah. And how does that wait for the image shack to frickin' load?
Yeah, I thought that was just me.
Well, I already looked at this one earlier, and it did look really, really sweet. The hat he's got on, the beard, all very original. The sash across, too. I can't tell who he made it off of, as usual. And I think there was an earlier King Tyre leaderhead made by someone completely different, and this one is much better.
Yeah, the great thing.
It looks like it's made off of that one Greek leader.
Mm.
Hmm. Oh, it could be Hammurabi.
That's what I was thinking, Hammurabi.
Hammurabi has that kind of hat shape.
Oh, but I see bits off of maybe other leaders on here, and a pretty neat texture job right there. The skin looks pretty good, and I like the colors on it.
Yeah, yeah, he improved it a bit. Quite a bit, quite a lot in the past few days.
Oh, he's been working on this one?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. At first it was a golden crown, and there was some weird color issues with the headdress, but now he worked on it, and it looked great.
He made it purple, which is very appropriate, because the Phoenicians were actually the guys who invented purple dye and made it really popular. It was one of their chief trade goods. I think they crushed small snails to get it.
Well, that's fascinating, Mr. Wizard.
It was so expensive that it became popular to use it for royal stuff.
He's definitely got the purple dye.
Yeah, and he's kind of wearing, is he like wearing a turtleneck here? He doesn't, I don't see any neck.
Well, his beard is, he's essentially neckless with his extremely large beard, yeah.
Hmm. I think he's doing like a Steve Jobs thing there, I don't know.
That's what my beard looks like, except for it's brown. See my neck.
Hmm.
Yeah, what do you think? Have you done any texturing before?
No, not except on the Special Operations Unit?
Yeah, I find textures to be fun and even challenging at times. And Oscar, of course, does textures for a indie game company. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, so it's pretty freaking awesome. Yeah. Armorer, all I can say negative about you is you need to make more and more and more. We haven't seen you doing a lot lately.
He was kind of on hiatus for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I think he said he had quit modding and then it sucked him back in.
Got bored.
I think he was going to pull a Sevo on us or something like that, you know?
Oh, that guy's freaking a hella gone.
Yeah, but he's retired too, so. Hey, SMJ, we were just speculating as to where actually you are in the world. This is, we're from all over the place. Ourselves on this panel internationally. Are you in the States, outside of it, et cetera?
I'm in the Western States.
Out west. Like Tony's off in Arizona.
I'm actually from Southern California.
Oh, you're just right here where I am. I can even go to your house and kick your ass. Just take me 8-hour drive.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We also have Roman Metal Chariot. Now, I didn't get a look at this unit until just this moment. Wow.
It looks like the chariot from Gladiator.
Yeah, it looks really awesome. It's got some freaking ass-kicking spikes on the side.
Now, I'm wondering how historically accurate a metal chariot is. Do they make steel chariots back then? I mean, you have to imagine it is.
I don't think so. Completely made of steel or iron, I don't think.
Yeah, that'd
be some tired-ass horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd make it out of metal. They'd probably just make it out of wood and then plate it in metal.
I can see possibly some of the wheels being having some metal on them to protect them or things like that. But certainly this much metal on a chariot is excessive.
Sounds like he had too much fun with specularity and made everything shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little shiny.
Too shiny? Maybe.
There's no such thing as too shiny. Yeah.
We know Dan would love this chariot.
It's shiny enough for me. Is that a huge spike coming out of the front?
Yeah, the texture there is a little blurry, but, well, you won't see it up close.
Yeah. Odd.
What is this, what animation is this based off of? Is it the Egyptian chariot he took?
Yeah.
It certainly looks like it. You've got the one guy holding the reins and the other guy with the spear.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's Egyptian chariot.
Yeah, that's a good job. He successfully reanimated the Roman into the Egyptian guy, and that looks pretty good, I think. A little bit of the steel, I don't know. Steel too much. And where's the freaking cool Roman scenario to play this in?
In Warlords?
Yep. Oh, I like how he put SPQR on the backs of the horses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. That means either the Senate troops.
A senatorial horse.
Is there a good Roman mod? I mean, I've seen cool stuff like Romans with guns and stuff, and I was like, well, where's the Roman mod for it?
That reminds me of an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
There's some other interesting units on that same page. Did you see the witch with the cauldron of poison that... It's kind of interesting looking there.
Actually, they are more interesting than the Roman chariot.
Yeah.
Are you sure this wasn't what you meant to be linking to?
Well, I linked everything.
I'm just going to go ahead and append the topics to be...
Roman and witches.
Romans, witches, Romans, and witches.
Yeah, now these witches on broomsticks, they forgot to actually put a broom on the end of the stick.
Yeah. You're right.
Uh-oh.
Is that too odd to you guys? They're just witches on sticks.
On fire sticks.
Oh.
And there's an odd fireball at the end of the stick. Maybe they're firing the fireballs at you? Is that what they do?
Yeah.
Maybe they're riding torches.
Torches? Oh, okay.
Well, they can travel well in the night.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. It's their navigation beacon, so, you know, they don't collide in air. You know.
Now, what I like is if you look at the other...
Which 4795, you are cleared for landing on runway 4.
Well, what I like about the second witch, besides her ample bosom under that dress, is the poison.
Yeah.
Above the cauldron, there's, like, smoke from the poison, and there's little skulls and crossbones eerily floating in the mist.
Yeah, I think that they're using that from somewhere else. That might be, is that at all related to the stinky animation you get over Unhealthy City?
It looks like it.
Because I never noticed skulls in it.
You know, I bet all he had to do was to go and open the texture for the cloud itself and just put a stamp on the texture of the skull and crossbones, and he would get the eerie floating ones, but it's always fun to see what you can do with textures.
No mistake.
Yeah, and visually, it certainly tells you that that's a cauldron poison. No question about it.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So we got witch, extremely heavy Roman chariots, and another witch who flies on a torch, and we determined that it's a torch.
Yeah, it's a torch.
All right, that's a little bit weird, but...
Well, but the fire looks cool.
No, they all look freaking cool, and I... Bravo to... Who is this guy? What's his name?
Sekar.
Well, no, is it just letters? Is it an acronym? I don't know.
S-A-K-H-R. It's a hard-to-pronounce name.
All right, that's fine. We just want to give him some credit. What else do we got? Uh-oh, Chugginator... Chugginator's been chugging something out.
Yeah.
And it looks like a whole entire civilization worth of, what do we call them now? Little people. Hairy little people.
Hobbits?
Kazed A Menu. They got some nice dwarves here. And I think he included an elf in there just for, you know, it's a token elf.
Oh, well, there's an elf.
Picture too.
So I guess this is for what the, Arda mod, is that what it's called?
Wow.
Lord of the Rings mod?
Yeah.
You know what I just noticed? He changed the selection cursor on the ground to a whole bunch of Tolkien script.
Yeah, I saw that too. I think I'd download that mod just to see that.
Wow, that looks sweet. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Perhaps it's the scripture on the One Ring.
I think that's what it is.
One ring to rule the law.
That might be right out of the Arda mod.
The Dwarven Swordsman, Axeman, might be a Maceman, Workers, Horse Archers, and Scouts. Yeah.
They all look pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dwarves are great.
They look freaking cool. The Axeman is.
Dwarves were always my favorites, too. I'm sure they're Tony's favorites.
Well, you know, to be honest, I'm running a Dungeons & Dragons game, and a couple hours after I record the show, and I think I have like 3 or 4 dwarves in my party. It's the most dwarves I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of dwarves lately. We actually have Arabian dwarves.
What?
Arabian dwarves.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that sounds kind of cool. These dwarves are definitely cool. I love, my favorite is the Axeman, because I am partial to the battle axe myself. The Axeman is very nice. And of course, chugged out by Chugginator. I think making units is becoming like a nervous tick to him, you know? He'll twitch a little bit, and then he'll use the computer, and he'll twitch again, and he'll have a unit. He's like, oh, I keep noticing all these units on my desktop. I don't know where they came from.
Okay, what's on next one here? There's a number of palaces?
Yeah, but we do have problems with this one. No screenshots.
Oh, yeah, that kind of sucks. I saw him earlier, and I thought there was a nice diversity of the palaces, but overall I thought some of the stuff that had been done by one of the modders in the past, Gnart, had done some better palaces, actually, and they had been collected by Geomodder into a nice little package. But, these are nice diversity and flavor to them. If you wanted more, you know, more is always better.
Yeah, I agree. More flavor, more diversity, more replay value from that. But we cannot see them at this exact second. I'm sure the viewers will, because by then the damn file system better be up. And this, of course, was by the Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
That's his name, the Navy SEAL. He's the Navy SEAL. Not just any. And then the next couple units, I just went back and submitted a crap load of Road to War units that got cut. Because, by the way, when you work for, you know, super duper corporation, sometimes they cut your artwork for file space reasons. So, what I do, I just decided to submit them. I submitted about 10 units, but I only included this one off that list. And it actually brought me within the top contributors at CFC. I'm at the top contributors.
Yeah, there. 94.
Yes, that's true. 94 submissions. And this I thought would be great is the Bolsheviks, Russian World War II kind of thingies.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to make a Lenin leader.
Oh, yeah, that does need to be done.
Lotto, next Lotto.
That's Ozio all the way. Ozio made me that bottle as a present.
Mm. He gave you a present, so you set it on fire and threw it at things?
Well, I drank it first, then filled it with gasoline, then set it on fire. Yeah, we had a little argument. I wouldn't say argument, but like, waste of good whiskey, waste of good vodka. No.
The thing is, though, wasn't that a Finnish thing?
These are all empty bottles filled with petrol. Burns better.
I'm not sure that the Russians ever actually used Molotov cocktails. It was named after a Russian.
Oh, well. Ruining us Americans' fantasies of Russians tossing burning bottles of booze.
Vodka.
And someone was giving me crap about the hat being so big. I was like, come on, that's a Russian kind of thingy looking hat. If I were in Russia, I'd rock that hat. They're all, yeah, in 1850, I was all, my ass. I told them they weren't true communists.
Now, what's this little red patch on his chest there? Is that like a logo, or is that, it looks like a fist?
Hammer and sickle.
It is the hammer and sickle. That's right, Oscar.
Oh, okay. It's hard to see it. Image a little bit larger.
I could have done better with the coloring or outlining.
Well, we'll put it on the hat.
Yeah, the hat would have been perfect. Yeah.
Captain Red.
What was beautiful about this unit is I even got the grenade animation to keep the little flame coming off the edge of the bottle, and then it, of course, explodes when it gets to its destination.
It was
right after I figured out how to reanimate units. I started reanimating grenadiers, started reanimating everything, and this is one of the results.
Sweet.
They did not find a home for him in the Road to War.
His pants do seem, though, somewhat overly tubular.
Yes, this is also a result of the reanimation process. But see, now, SMJ knows about reanimation, and he might be able to shed some light on reanimation later in the spotlight when we talk about his mod, or utility, I should say.
Okay.
Mm. And let us hurry in that direction and come to... Oh, yes. Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Now, I have a guy I work with here who is an absolutely obsessed with Chuck Norris. He's got, like, you know, this list of Chuck Norris facts you put up for us? He has, like, about 10 times that many.
I just went to a random Chuck Norris, took about a tenth of the jokes I was showing, and put them in there. Just to get people all riled up.
Okay, but supposedly, have you given him roundhouse kick animations? Is that what you've managed to do? Because if you haven't done that, then your mod sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. My mod sucks. It's because I have not found a unit in Civ that possesses the roundhouse kick. Now, Ken, if you can find me a unit or find me an animator for Axis to animate me a KF file of a roundhouse kick... Community to be indebted to you.
Well, can't you use SMJ's mod to do that?
Well, here's the thing. SMJ's mod does this. I could take any unit, which, for instance, I used the Aztec Jaguar, I believe, and I took his attack animation and put it on the Chuck Norris, which was based on a worker.
Oh, he did the spinning around thing?
Previously, Chuck Norris just stood still and, like, froze when it attacked, and then the battle ended. Now, he'll run up, and for some reason, the Aztec Jaguar... animation looks a lot like fist fighting, so he'll go up and beat the crap out of whoever you fight.
Oh, okay, that does sound significantly better.
Yeah, and he's in kind of...
That's good enough, but still.
Yeah, yeah, and this screenshot doesn't do him justice because the other one was an action screenshot. It had Chuck Norris versus Wolf, Chuck Norris versus Bear, finish him! Yeah, we do need Chuck Norris versus Tank. We should give Chuck Norris power of 999.
Well, that goes without saying.
Knowing my luck, I'd get him killed.
Maybe. It would take basically the entire army of at least one entire planet of Civs to take him out.
Actually, I would give Chuck Norris max int. Is this Frank?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you might be able to take him out with, like, dropping multiple nukes on him at once. Have you ever done it where you group together, like, 20 or 30 nukes in one stack? And then drop him and make the Uber mushroom cloud. That might take like a little of his health off. Keep doing that.
Okay.
If he doesn't just roundhouse kick it back to you.
Yeah,
now let us celebrate by reading Chuck Norris facts. The chief export of Chuck Norris is paid.
Yeah.
Your turn, Tony.
Chuck Norris drinks napalm to quell his heartburn. If you can see Chuck Norris, he can see you. If you can't see Chuck Norris, you may only be seconds away from death.
On the seventh day, God rested. Chuck Norris took over.
there's quite a few here.
When Chuck Norris plays Oregon Trail, his family does not die from cholera or dysentery, but rather from roundhouse kicks to the face. He also requires no ragged, since he carries the oxen axles and buffalo meat on his back. He always makes it to Oregon before you. He then roundhouse kicks Oregon.
Yes, we're out of Chuck Norris jokes now, unfortunately.
Actually, although it is not commonly known, there are actually three sides of the Force. The light side, the dark side, and Chuck Norris.
Yes, but I added Chuck Norris today to the list of topics because I used SFJ's converter to make that unit have a decent animation for once. That is the true use of his converter. I do think we need a roundhouse animation, though. Ken.
One last thing, though. Why did you give him that hat?
Well, you know, I really was contemplating taking the hat off and instead giving him a cowboy hat, but I just didn't get around to it. I might get around to it.
Yeah.
So that would make this not the final version of Chuck Norris. There would be a Chuck Norris final.
Chuck Norris is never finalized.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
Hey, did I mention that in my democracy game, which we're currently winning over at Polyton, we have, we're China, so we have the Chucko Nose. So actually, we named our first one, who's like about level 5 right now, Chucko Nose.
Nice.
He conquered a civilization for us.
Very nice.
Yeah, they had, like, archers. Or, no, wait, actually, I think they had chariots to defend themselves with, and we came in with Chuck Norris.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Even with a crossbow, Chuck Norris will do a roundhouse kick.
I think I'd be worried if you said you were losing a game with Chuck Norris on your side.
Oh, no, we're number one.
Perfect. I was looking hard to find anything for the code side of the modding, and I noticed that there was a little glitch in the code for the unique names. Now, it's not so much a glitch in the SDK as it is a glitch with the output of the World Builder save files for various versions, and I think the main problem was they wanted to have unique named units stay named that way. Apparently, if you, for instance, took your beefiest, buffest unit and named him after you, or named him Chuck Norris, when you would save the game, it would be lost.
Sucky.
So Dale fixed this.
Cool.
Yep.
Gaius Octavius begs anyone who has the ability to save him to write him some code. And a few people say blah, 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 until Dale shows up and Dale walks into the saloon, stands up to the bar and says, "I got you." Except for an Australian accent, which I can't do. Dale's funny.
Come to my land down under. Vegemite sandwich.
Crikey.
We cannot let him forget where he comes from.
Yeah, Dale never live up being Australian. Oh, poor Dale. But Dale's better at that code than me, so I still have to give him all my respect. And he apparently uploaded something called wbdesc.py, which looks like it was just a little bit of Python, and it added, in World Builder save, I believe when you have a unit placed somewhere, it'll say begin unit, and then it'll tell you what kind of unit, and then level and experience. But this unit, he added a new line in there. It says unit name. And I guess now that it'll punch that into your World Builder save, I imagine slightly lengthening the length, you know, the amount of the file, but only negligibly, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Python's really flexible in this way. I think it's pickled objects and whatnot. You're just adding that in there. And plan. So, there's another potential code bit we can look at here. One by Gur. He's created a Beyond the Sword Python XML combo KGB wonder.
Oh.
So this is a lot of mods he's been making of these type. He makes a wonder of the world, writes some Python files that associate with it, and the Python files, you know, trigger the effect. So you don't need any kind of SDK modification to get it. I think this one gives you what, 3 spies, which each have sentry, morale, and mobility. So they're like super spies. So you build the KGB, boom, you get the 3 spies, and you can use the spies to rape your opponents. You know.
Oh, well, so you, by building the KGB, you get 3 free spies?
Yep, these are some pretty slick ones, too.
Are they, like, strong, upgraded spies?
Yeah, yeah. I said they get 3 of those 3 promotions.
Oh, they get a sentry, morale, and mobility, which
powerful
are pretty good for a spy. With morale and mobility, you'd be just blowing past terrain.
Mm.
Be going, choo, choo, choo. I think I will steal some technology, but it will only take me 1 turn to get there. Oh, wonderful. That's my impersonation of a KGB agent.
Well, it wasn't that bad. You improved.
Well, I was working on stuff I'm already good at. All right.
Yeah, I'm saying too.
Wow, Dan just sent me a link to a post. You're getting it too? Someone installed Civilization on their mobile phone.
Yeah.
I'm like,
what?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, original Civilization.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. He's playing Civ 1 on a phone of some sort. It's this weird-looking phone. What is it? T-Mobile?
What?
I don't know what type of phone that is, but it's pretty fancy-looking. But, yes, a modern phone now has the computational power to run Civilization 1.
Well, you know, I remember they were selling a cell phone version of Civ 3, and it looked like Civ 1.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But if this guy ported the code directly to his phone, that would be impressive.
I think that's what he's implying he did, or something like that. Got it running probably in some kind of PC emulator inside the phone.
Yeah, he did.
If you have Windows Mobile, you can presumably run just about any Windows application on there as long as it meets the requirements.
Quite interesting.
For the sort of relatively low-end hardware.
Well, I'm sure this thing doesn't have, you know, very much RAM to it.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. I mean, cell phones, they're miniaturizing a lot of stuff. Like, I've browsed the internet on my phone. I'm like, kind of sucked, though.
True. Sucky mobile phone internet.
Yeah, nothing works freaking sucky phone internet crap. Kiss my ass.
Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
Today, for the Modder Spotlight, we have a special guest. SMJ, a.k.a. Steven Jimenez, was just featured last week on Modcast for his KFM converter for converting animations. And on super duper short notice, he said he would come on this Sunday to be, ta-da, our first guest co-host. So, hell yeah. So, what I wanted to do, I have a few questions we can ask him, and the first question would be,
this is the part where you say hi.
Who is your daddy and what does he do? No. Who are you and what do you do?
What? As you guys know me, I'm SMJ, Steven Jimenez, and right now, I don't do anything. I'm just getting ready to go off to boot camp for the Air Force.
Woohoo, military! And so you know how to splice together code, yet you're joining the military? Wasting that golden, valuable knowledge?
Actually, I'm going in for Intel. Yeah.
You know, the Air Force is the techie branch of military, so yeah, That was really silly, Tony.
Yeah, I'm going in for Intel on the Air Force.
They protect space. They protect the air, space, and cyberspace. You know, that's their new logo.
Oh, well, we'll never see you again.
But I'll see you guys.
From, like, spy satellites.
Okay. When did you start playing then modding Civ?
I actually started playing Civ in middle school, for Civ 2, on a crappy old piece of computer that I think ran Windows 3.1.
Ooh. Oh, that's old. I remember.
Yeah, I had an old computer for the first time, but I only started modding Civ, like, within the last month or two.
He's a noob! Did you hear that, everyone? He's a newbie! But he's good.
So what got you to start modding Civ?
Yeah.
Have you modded other games before?
Boredom. No, actually. This is my first time modding.
But why this particular mod? I mean, did you...
KFM converter?
How did you feel it was needed, necessary? Was it for your own work, or more just so other people could use it? Like Tony.
Okay, at first... I started KFM converter in C++, and it was just a command line utility, really hard to use. But I figured that since I needed it, that somebody else might get some use for it. And so I wrote it in C# for the ability to make a GUI really fast and easy. And then that's how I ended up just putting it out there.
And what kind of things went into the KFM converter?
A lot of time and a hex editor. I literally sat there with like 12 instances of the KFM, or the hex editor open with KFM files in it, trying to figure out what meant what. And
oh, you actually figured that out. I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, it took forever.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds hardcore, man. So how long have you been programming?
Since middle school. I started out programming on BASIC in middle school to make a calculator because I didn't want to do the work.
Mm.
And then moved on to C# in high school. And C++ and Java and all that stuff in high school.
They teach that in high school? Damn.
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, he's talking he did it on his own.
You spent your time wisely then, because all he taught me was BASIC.
Yeah, I had to learn BASIC on my own.
Yeah, BASIC sucks balls.
BASIC does suck.
How not to teach people how to program.
How to make them totally not want to do it. Not only that, but my teacher was mean to me. And she said unmentionable things and made me want to drop out, and I did.
Mm.
Dropped out of stupid programming. And now what did I got for it? Nothing. I'm pathetic. Not like you, SMJ.
Nobody uses BASIC anyway.
I think I managed to make BASIC, like, pop up to the screen where random dots of random colors would appear at random places with random beep tones. So, you ran that for about 5 minutes. Start feeling weird.
Sounds like a screensaver.
It would say, it sounded something like what do you think you might be getting into now that you've released this animation software? Are you going to do more work with these kinds of file types to perhaps maybe make more utilities or build upon the utility you already have?
The KF files already can be edited. The regular KF files and NIF files can be edited with 3DS Max, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. And Blender.
And Blender. But the KFM files are the only things that couldn't. So, other than maybe making a KFM converter light, where it gets rid of the XML completely and just real-time editing, then probably not.
Yeah. What I wish is there was more support in creating new animations for the NIF files. From where it's at right now, it's still very difficult and only attainable on basically one program that I know of, which is, of course, 3DS Max. Have you done any modeling or animating?
Not in any good software. The only modeling I've ever done was in, Milkshape 3D, and that one's terrible, terrible program to use for that.
I see.
You have to plot each point individually.
Oh, yeah. Now, that would probably take a little bit too long. That sounds very painful. Yeah, well, what I hope is that when you go join the military, you go find more modding stuff to do, because there's a great need in the Appalachian Civ Fanatics modding community for utility program creators, people who are just willing to stick to making a utility and present it to the modders of the community. And I think it's totally underrated, the work they've done, but you can say what you want. Every modder at some point has downloaded a utility file to help them beyond the kind of crappy map editor that comes with Civ, or some of the other utility programs that has been added to the community to help. And yours, of course, has allowed me to do things I've never been able to do before, with artwork at least.
That was the idea.
Yeah. Hopefully, after people hear this modder spotlight, will go, oh, I need to download this thing and make new graphics, and then hopefully give you props.
Yeah, gotta have the props.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Do you have any plans for what might be coming next? I know they give you weekends off in that Air Force thing, so you can mod on the weekends.
Actually, the KFM converter wasn't really planned. I ended up without internet and really bored.
That'll do it.
So I just busted out the hex editor and started taking it apart. Actually, wasn't until the C-sharp version that I understood some of the more interesting parts of the KFM file, because the original version just output the plain text INA file.
Yeah.
And it was just terrible to work with. It was really hard to read.
Well, moving to XML was a good move, too, because everyone who mods Civ is very used to XML.
Yeah, and it also made outputting stuff easier.
What I don't get is what gave the idea, like, okay, you play Civ, you go online, you open a file and say, what's this, a KFM? I don't even know what this is. I'm going to make a program for it? How did that happen?
I was trying to make a Navy SEAL unit paratrop, and I noticed that it would just pop up on that spot. So then I tried moving the paratrooper animation in the folder, and it didn't do anything. And then I opened up the KFM file, because I saw, you know, KF and then KFM, and I saw that it was in the paratrooper, but not in the Navy SEAL. And that's how I ended up deciding to take apart the KFM file.
Although I have a strange feeling that when you did move the paradrop, did it actually work?
It has some really weird joint movement.
Does it show the parachute?
That's one of the problems that I'm having with it, is I'm trying to get the parachute to show up.
Oh.
He does the movement for it, but he's not showing the parachute.
Yeah. Do you have to go with a different software to get the parachute to show up? And I just recently did that. But I didn't use your program for that because I found your program had uses for other things. But the problem was, is when you move the animation over, he actually probably dropped down from the sky, but there is no parachute model on the unit. I wonder if we could put the parachute on the other unit, but who knows.
I'll see, and if it works, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, well, good. Just keep up the work. Find more useful things, too, because it actually works, too. You released the first version, and it actually works, which is also impressive.
Well, in reality, that's not the first version. That's more like the fifth version.
Well, at least you didn't bother us until you had something that worked.
Yeah, and I see a lot of mods like, this is version 0.0001. You know, it does nothing yet, but hey, someday.
All right.
Perhaps he can tell us a little of his Special Forces mod. What do you think?
Special Forces mod was started out just as one unit. The idea was just to take the Guerrilla unit. And when I first found the Guerrilla unit, I hadn't upgraded to 3.13 yet. And I couldn't figure out why I could just run around and steal workers from whoever was near me, then just escort the workers out of their country and nothing ever bad happened. And I decided that, you know, a Marine like that was just too strong, so I ended up making the Special Operations Unit, and then that slowly just started to become an actual mod.
Yeah.
So many mods get started that way.
Yeah. All of a sudden, bam, I need to make an installer and a downloader and all this other stuff.
Installers are for the weak.
Oh, come on. It just looks nice when you're like, oh, just double-click this icon, now it's in. Ah.
Mm.
Sorry. I know there's something called modular XML now, but I don't even know what that is still. Still haven't figured it out.
Mm.
Just don't care, actually. That's
Are you talking about the World of Civilization project?
Oh, that's a part of it. They're still working on that.
Yeah, they're actually worth checking out.
It's a couple of friends of mine. Yeah, I haven't been able to follow them as close as I would like to. I mean, I resigned a while back from that.
It's actually worth checking out.
But they've refined the XML loading thing a lot more now and have a big library of stuff.
Oh, really? That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. You don't see them much because they do most of their stuff kind of off at their own site now. They're not really on CFC a bunch. You know, they got the subversion database and everything over at SourceForge and whatnot. So that's where it's done. Several programmers, etc.
Well, that's good. I haven't heard of that project in a while, though. Are they still working on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know T.A. Firehawk?
Oh, I know. Didn't you have your fingers in this somehow, Ken?
Yeah, I got the modder from that guy. had been working on it, who had worked with him, came to me and they said, okay, let's all get together and we'll make this new thing, and it'll be built off the modular loading, and it'll be a library of stuff. So it kind of superseded my own mod and expanded upon it. And it's been kind of off on its own now.
Oh, really?
But when it starts coming back, you know, it'll make a big splash, I think.
It's always good when the higher-up modders can compile a lot of good changes to the code into one big project. I'm assuming that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like a project of projects. It's like a whole collection of semi-separate projects.
Yeah, exactly. There's just a lot going on. Hopping community.
Yeah.
Oh, and I should mention the modder guy who's the leader now of that, the main programmer down for the World of Civ is Mr. Genie.
Yeah.
T.A. Firehawk left, huh?
No, T.A. Firehawk was the designer, lead organizer, but the lead programmer.
Oh, awesome.
Mr. Genie. That's right. So I think he's in Denmark or Belgium or maybe it's Germany.
Thank you for confirming yet more American stereotypes.
Netherlands? Oh, maybe that was it.
That's where Router lives.
Yeah, he's not too far from Router. He's in that Europe area, you know. He's in Europe, too, with Router, you know. They're right next door, you know.
They're our best friends. If they live in the same country, they're our best friends.
Well, that was actually a pretty good impression.
Well, it's like Argentina. All the guys from Argentina know each other, you know. It's like, tell us. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the other day we were talking with Ken about he knew an Argentinian guy, and he lives like about 10 blocks from my house.
Yeah, the guy from Argentina in my democracy game, you know, who's helping us win, he's like, woo, go there. Nestor is Oscar's friend.
Now, the next question is, Oscar, are you guys cousins?
No, exactly, but we play D&D together.
we're all dorks to the core.
So I'm sure Mr. Genie is probably off there, you know, playing some D&D with Locutus, you know.
No, I don't have any real-life friends, so.
Oh.
I have nothing but other nerds here at work. But they're hardcore, so we get along good.
For Axis nerds.
Yeah, in fact, one of us, like, Art, who's an artist, is going to have us play some Japanese-themed Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, great.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
There's not Dungeons & Dragons enough. It's like, if we make it Japanese, too, even more hardcore.
No, they do this while they're compiling.
So this is what you guys do instead of work.
Yeah.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcasts, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net.
We are nearing the end of our show.
Yeah.
A lot of great things were talked about today. And we had our first ever guest co-host.
Yeah.
It was great being there with you guys.
The first of many.
It was awkward at times, kind of like two young lovers in their initial embrace.
Okay.
That metaphor was a little gay.
Now you got my whole humor theme laid out on the table.
I'll have to think about that for a while.
Yeah.
I think we have our title for this episode now.
That was a little gay.
Yeah, I
Well, let's see if that'll go past Wouter. Wouter? You think that's a good episode title?
You assume we still have an audience left?
If you don't like it, come up with a great one, but you know. I don't know, we might lose another portion of our audience if we call it that.
Yeah.
Is there any lot left to lose?
Yeah, I was going to say, every episode we lose like either half or a quarter of our entire audience because of something I say.
Somehow, yet we still manage to get new gullible people who haven't heard the show yet.
Like
Steven? And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, hey, this doesn't look too bad. Oh, wait, next episode. Oh, God! Hi.
Why do we put our listeners through this? Because we don't like them.
Oh,
we do. We like you.
We like you. We really like you. We want to embrace you. Okay. Stop me. Stop me.
No, I'm not going to stop you. I'm going to let you keep going until you bury yourself. Actually, we have to stop all of this. We'll stop it all.
Yeah.
All of it. I have to edit this. It's a mess.
Well, at least you have 2 weeks.
I guess we can say that we've had a lot of fun. Today,
yeah.
We've been joined by Oscar Elohim Velzi.
Goodbye, everybody.
Ken and Taylor Ferland.
Goodbye, Earthlings.
Wouter Lacutus Snyders.
See you.
And me, Tony Garrett Zaka Keel, with special guest co-host Steven SMJ Jimenez.
See you later, everyone.
Our first guest co-host. So, with that, we bid you farewell and hope to see you in a couple weeks.
Record date, March 2nd, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.